Going to go ahead and finish up our study of James tonight. We're not going to completely go through the fifth chapter this time, but we're going to think about some or study some things that James sort of uses as kind of a bookend. James talks about a lot of practical things within his letter, his general letter. But one of the things that he concentrates on is rich people. And so we'll read a couple passages now. First, we'll read James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, where he wrote, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." But at the beginning of this letter, he, in verses 9 through 11 of chapter 1, also had something to speak about the rich. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." As I understand it, in ancient Israel, there were grasses and wildflowers that sprouted out of the ground in the morning, but by the afternoon would wither away under the intense heat of the summer sun. And so in this second passage, James compares the instability of wealth, the instability of riches, to this type of grass. It is here today and gone tomorrow. I have some things up on the board that we're going to talk about. We're not playing hangman, as my wife asked me, but I guess you could say it's a little similar. But we have things up on this board that we're going to talk about tonight. Something that fits these six letters here gives us these. Okay, we're going to talk about that. First, whatever that is brings freedom. Whatever that is brings security. Whatever that is what matters. Whatever that is brings power. Whatever that is establishes our worth. Whatever that is gives options. Whatever that is brings happiness. Whatever that is our reward. And whatever that is our possession. And so I'm going to fill this in now. This word here, riches, gives us all these things. Of course, that is what the world will tell us. The world will tell us that riches gives us all these things up on the board. But James would warn us against these kind of things. And what we want to look to as Christians, of course, is not the world to get what our ideas are on something, but we want to look to the Word. And so tonight, we're just going to quickly go through these items that we have up on the board and talk about what the Word has to say in view of these things. So first, the world will say that riches bring us freedom. Riches allow us to do the things that we want to do. Let's listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. When Paul was writing to Timothy, the evangelist, he said to him in 6, verses 7 through 9, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The Word of God would tell us that riches, or the desire for these riches, can be enslaving and can lead to destruction, but only Christ can bring true freedom. Second, the world will say of riches and will tell us that they bring security, that they keep us secure, that they're something we can trust in and something we can put our faith into. But also, again, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, a little further down, verses 17 through 19, Paul would write to Timothy and say, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Indeed, worldly wealth, worldly riches are very insecure, and they can quickly pass away. Real security is found in knowing and trusting God and Christ. Third, the world will tell us that riches are really what matters. Riches are all that matters in this world, really. Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren in chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, and said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." The Word of God will tell us that Christ and God's kingdom are what matters. Fourth, the world will tell us that riches and wealth will bring us power, will give us the ability to do things, to do what we want. But the Word gives a different look on power. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This is the recount of Peter and John. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple of the hour, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Now, the apostles were endued with power, evidential power of the church. No riches, no money will be able to do what Peter and John were able to do here. But also, the Word tells us about a different power. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, one of the most well-known verses for us, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then also, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And so the gospel and the preaching of it, the word would tell us, is the most important power in the universe. The power to be saved from our sin. The power to be able to live throughout eternity with our Creator. That is real power, and nothing that riches can do or even come close to doing. Fifth, the world will tell us that riches establish our worth. When people look at us, if we're rich, if we're flaunting our money, then people can see our worth and see what we're able to do. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to whom we have redemption, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made unto us the mystery of his will, made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed to himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Our true worth is based on how God views us, and based on his word, and based on his grace through Christ Jesus our Savior, not what our riches tell the world. Number six, the world will say that riches give options. Riches give us the option to do whatever we want. They give us the power to do these things. They give us choices. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 through 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God and Christ are who ultimately gives us options. Next, the world will say that riches bring happiness. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Riches and the love of money can bring a happiness, but it's short-lived. And in the long run, these things can actually produce, Paul would say, many sorrows. But what does bring happiness? John chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Jesus' words, the word of God from Christ, gives us real joy, a joy that is full, true happiness. Last two, the world will say that riches are our reward. Our reward for the labors of our life. That's what riches are. We earn them. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, another popular passage. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Our reward is in heaven. That's where our treasures should be, not on this earth. Laying up treasure on the earth is a fool's errand. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye also are always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." This we use oftentimes to speak on the contribution, the ministration to the saints. And here, God encourages us. Give, and give cheerfully, give as we have purposed. Laying up treasure is not something that God wants us to do. Laying up treasure in heaven is what he wants us to do. Riches should not be thought of as our reward here on earth. Finally, the world will say that riches are our possession. We've earned them. We get to say what we do with them. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. We're going to do what we want with our possession. Psalm 24 and 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let us not be fooled. God has given us these things to use." Luke chapter 19, finally, verses 11 through 27. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, when he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidst not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. Bring hither and slay them before me. All that we have is God's to do with as he pleases. We are merely stewards of his possessions. And God has asked us to use these things. Christ has asked us to use these things until he returns, that we may use them and gain from them, not gain for ourselves, but gain for the Master. And so we, as Christians, live in a world and we live in a culture that says that riches can give us all these things we have on the board. But the Word doesn't tell us that. I'm going to do a little hocus pocus here, if I might. I'm going to add a couple of slots here. I'm going to steal these letters, and I'm just going to erase these. I'm the teacher, so I get to do this. We all know this, but we need a constant reminder, at least I do, that Christ is the one who gave us all these things, who allowed us to have these things, and allows us to be a steward of these things for him and for his cause. That's my lesson for this evening. I hope that something's been said that will build us up and allow us to increase our faith and do more for Christ. There's one who's subject to the gospel at this time. Won't you come and stand while we sing?